The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on January 13, 1992 in Madras, Tamil Nadu, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 4th chapter, 13th verse.
According to their own deficiencies. and even put faults on them which are completely speculative. So by doing that, they are committing offenses. And that envy is very good according to her, because these materialistic people are benefited when they fall down into material suffering and distress. They become humble, they get purified. This way, also in the material world, the materialistic people create a lot of disturbance, so if their power is diminished, then it's good for the devotees, because then the godly influence can increase. So the fact that the materialistic people also are generally envious of the saintly people is one way of cutting them down. So what she's saying is very good, but saying very good is in a kind of a facetious way. Like, you're so bad, it's good if you die. Or if a snake, it says snake is so low that if the snake is killed, it can only take a higher birth. So it's good for the snake to die anyway. So in that kind of attitude, she's saying that you're so envious, but this is not very wonderful. It's expected that someone like you, who is a complete gross materialist, who has got no spiritual understanding, will be envious. And this is good for you because of your envy, you're going to be destroyed. And that's good for you because you're so rotten anyway that anything happens can only be for your good. And she's speaking in a very angry way, but whatever she's saying is actually true. This is our nature. Sometimes people are just envious. There's a story told by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that there was one time a very respectable man in the village, but although he was a very good person, there were some people who were just envious against him for no reason. So when he had a small child, a boy, they also became envious against that boy. So when that boy was running around in the village up to 5 years of age, he used to like going around without any clothes. So he got the nickname, actually his proper name was Panchanath, but he got the nickname Nengi Pancho, or Naked Pancho. And he would run around, but that was when he was 4 years old. So when he grew up, and when he was about 14, he got number one in matriculation. He was a very good student. People were praising how Panchanath was the best student in the school. But the envious people, they say, what? How can that guy be the best student? Are he was running around in our village naked. He's a Nengi Pancho. Naked Pancho. What studies he can do? Later on, he got the IAS, various good qualification. He got entered into the, actually graduated with a Bachelor of Law. Then with a law degree, he got into the bar. He became a very successful lawyer. The people were praising how Panchanath was one of the best lawyers in the city. And these people heard and said, what? How he can be a lawyer? And he was running around in our village like that. Actually, he must have cheated on his exams. He can't be a good lawyer. But he was winning all the cases, and then he got promoted to the bench. He was made a high court judge. Then he became chief justice when he was a little older. So then these people heard, what? Chief justice? How he can be chief justice? He was a Nengi Pancho. Nengi Pancho running in our village when he was 4 years old. How he can be chief justice? Even if he's chief justice, he won't get paid his monthly wage. So the envious people, they don't listen to reason. They go on criticizing. Someone may be naked 4 years old, but later on, you can't consider what he was before. You have to consider what he is now. He's a good student, or he's a lawyer, or he's a chief justice. When he's 3 years old, he's running naked. There's nothing to bear upon it. But for the envious people, they'll see like that. Oh, this person was a sudra, or this person was this, or this person. How he can be a great acharya? How he can be a great devotee? Ramanuja Acharya, he uplifted many people from various castes and made them great preachers. Some of them he made also acharyas. Not consider what they were before, because according to the Vaishnava system, the Vedic system, by samskara, one is purified. Everyone is born a Sudra. Only by samskara they can become a Brahmana. Someone is born a Brahmana and doesn't go through the samskara is considered a Brahma Bandhu, or a friend or relative of the Brahmana. But envious people, they all look to the back and not see the present, what the person actually is. Or they'll see according to some superficial thing which has no bearing. Or they'll just say something envious. So Daksha was falling in that category. He was superficially judging Shiva that he's going to that very unholy or very kind of dirty places like crematorium. He's not seeing that he's going there to deliver those fallen souls and give them some upliftment. He's a person to go to the hopeless places and give those people some hope. Actually, but he's not affected. Just like he can drink the ocean of poison but not die. If we drink one drop of poison, we'll be instantly dead. So he wasn't seeing actually Shiva's real qualification. Instead, he was considering he's my son-in-law. He's inferior to me. Oh, why did I get such a lousy son-in-law? The guy's hanging around in these dirty places. He's doing this. He started making so many offensive statements without actually knowing the real nature of Lord Shiva. He's a partial expansion of the Lord Vishnu, and he's got so many powers, far more powerful than Daksha. But instead, Daksha is just being according to some material. It's also called Nanti Matrika Nyai. Everybody's mother was one time naked when she was a little baby coming out of the womb. Everybody is born naked except for Krishna. Everybody, only Krishna was born with clothes on. Everybody else is born naked. If we say my mother was one time naked, it doesn't make any sense. We have to see the mother for what she is now, not what she was when she was a 6-month baby. So this is a Vedic system actually, very well accepted by logicians, by pundits, by the Shastra, that someone should be judged according to their guna and karma. According to their present nature of activities, if someone is very exalted but he is doing some horrible activity, then he will be judged. When Krishna arrested Aswatthama with Arjuna, because he had committed heinous acts, not suitable for a Brahmana or a Brahmana's son to perform, killing sleeping children, even Duryodhana could not appreciate killing sleeping children, the 5 sons of the Pandus. This Aswatthama was so envious against the Pandavas that even he killed the sleeping children. How this could be accepted? It was unacceptable by anyone. Even Duryodhana, with all of his enmity against the Pandavas, could not appreciate that act. So the Vedas are not simply for keeping some title and do anything, but they judge according to your actions. But Daksha is not judging Shiva by any real yardstick or real understanding. Just out of envy, he's pulling up all useless arguments. So this is our problem. So now Sati is going to renounce her connection with Daksha and burn herself up in mystic fire. But before she goes, she's just giving her explanation why she's doing it and what she thinks of her father, well, her father and his activities. So now she's explaining that the materialists, the envious of great souls, that's their own downfall. And that's good that they are crashing down, because they're actually just falsely situated in a false ego. There's also another example given in the Vedas. Says that the Guru, that Krishna, mercy, is coming down like the sun. And that bhakti is like the water in a sarovar, in a lake. So bhakti is like a lotus. But the Guru's mercy is like the water in a lake. If someone doesn't surrender to a Guru, but wants to do bhakti directly to Krishna, without Guru, without mercy of Guru, and it says that the sun beating on a lotus, if lotus is just there and the lake dries up, there's no water, that same sun will burn up the lotus and will fry it. Krishna service without mercy of Guru, without shelter of Guru, becomes offensive in nature, and that actually dries up one's own devotional attitude, and one develops various kind of anarthas and improper mentality. But if one serves Krishna through the Guru, taking shelter of Guru, that's like the lotus floating in the water. So that same sun makes the lotus very beautiful and blossoming because it's floating in the water. So we want to approach Krishna, we have to go through the Guru. So one thing can cause the good fortune or can cause the destruction. Great Souls Association, if we take it for serving the Great Souls, we can get the whole blessing. But if the Great Souls Association we take for offending the Great Souls, we can get all destruction. So the association is the same, but depending how we relate. Daksha was associated with Shiva as son-in-law. So he could have also taken advantage and served his Lord Shiva and got many benefits. But instead, he became envious of Lord Shiva, and as a result, he had to face so many difficulties. Someone may have a bona fide guru. If they serve the guru, then they get so much benefit. But instead, if they offend the guru, steal from the guru, criticize the guru, reject the guru, they get all destruction. Said by giving up the service of the devotees, who has ever achieved deliverance? Vaishnava, Chariyachi, Vaishnava, Seva, Nishtar, Payachi, Kiva. So these are all very sanguine instructions by Mother Sati, but they are spoken in great anger. At the same time, she is speaking exactly the truth. But it's understood that she's saying so in a very highly intense state before she's so angry that her own bodily heat is going to increase to the point that she is self-immolates without petrol, without kerosene or anything, simply because of her anger and her mystic power. So these are the lessons today from this verse. Of course, we also have the opportunity here. We have the deities, the Vaishnavas. So the little care, of course, Gaurinita is very merciful. They don't take offense very easily. They hardly take any offense. So this way, serving Gaurinita is very beneficial for those beginning in devotional service. Rukmini, Krishna, Satyabhama, Radha, Krishna, a little more critical. If you offend Krishna, Lakshmi is not very pleased by that. She can sometimes have a short temper. But of course, if you very humbly approach and serve in devotion or beg for their forgiveness, they're also very soft-hearted. We have to be always very humble. Lord Chaitanya said devotional service must be practiced in a humble state of mind. Pranadati sunichena tororiva sahishnuna amanena manadena ketaniya sadahari. One should perform it without any false prestige, not thinking I'm the big pandit, I'm very learned, I'm very qualified, I'm very intelligent. We need to go before Guru and Krishna in a very humble state of mind that I need the blessings of Krishna, I need the blessings of Guru. Actually, whatever is going right is because of their causeless mercy, whether I even serve properly or not. They are still giving their mercy to me. How much grateful I should be. This way we consider ourselves more fallen than a straw in the street, more humble than a blade of grass. That is more tolerant than a tree. That's the basis. We may feel that we are being dealt with very heavily. Still we bend with that, and later we stay back in our original position of devotional service. We don't get frustrated or despondent. If we think I'm really important, I should have a big position. Otherwise I can't serve. This is also a type of false ego. Pratishtha, desire for position. We should try to be a servitor. Krishna will automatically recognize us for serving, engaging us. We are basically a servitor, servant of Krishna. And Krishna's devotees, Das and Das. So that's our attitude, how we can serve better. And whatever service we're given, then we take it up in a humble state of mind, begging for the blessings of Guru and Krishna. And if we think that, no, I don't need any blessings, I don't need any to go to any devotee, or I should have all these kind of mentality. What happens is it puts us in a position where Maya can cut us down. So here Maya Devi herself is saying, the people are too proud. It's good for them because I can cut them down. She is actually the material energy herself. She just appeared like a Leela, the son of, daughter of Daksha. So now she's leaving Daksha. Actually, Daksha was very fortunate to have Durga as his daughter. But now when she's leaving him, she can see his good fortune is also going to be leaving him. Durga is also an extension of the goddess of fortune. So she brings in a material fortune for our people. Lakshmi actually is to give spiritual fortune, which is the ability to serve Krishna in pure devotion. That is the real blessing of Lakshmi. But people are wanting Lakshmi in her material form, of material money. The bad Lakshmi is called Chanchala. She is very flickering. But Lakshmi, who is at the side of Narayan, is fixed. She never leaves. So if you want Lakshmi to be fixed, we need to have devotion to Narayan, and then she'll always be there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So today there are many different programs, so there's only time for one question. Anyone has a question? Not just give, they have their own. See, here in South India, some Tamil writings are there about Lord Shiva, where we don't know the origin of those. I don't know much about it. But there are some followers of Shiva who don't accept the Vedas. There's a group in Hawaii, they say that we don't accept the Vedas. If the Vedas keep saying Vishnu is supreme, so at some point in time, some people made their own Shastra, a separate so-called Shastra, which I don't touch the Vedas. Although Shiva is himself most expert in Vedas, he's one of the gurus of the Vedas. He always bases his teachings in the Vedas. There are some who have teachings of Shiva which are not in the Vedas. I don't know where this teaching comes from. But we don't accept things unless they are in the Vedas. So whenever you see something, you should say, what Shastra is that in, what verse? Then we can look up and see what it actually says, whether they have interpreted correctly. Unless I know it's from the Vedas, then how can I give an interpretation? It's like a lawyer has to see where the law is coming from, what text, what precedent is there. Like that, we have to always find, what is the Shastra, where does it say this? If you watch the drama, every dramatic writer
that the Supreme Lord is the enjoyer of all the religious worship in the whole world and the whole universe. All the tapasya, austerities, penances, prayers, everything is going to the Supreme Lord, who is known as Krishna, Allah, Jehovah, Jesus, Son of Father of Jesus. Krishna is explaining this science that the Lord, He is the Lord of all the universes. He is the friend, Suhidan Sarva Bhutana, of all the living entities. If we know this, if we know the Lord, that He is the proprietor, He is the owner, then where is the question of anything but this? Because we are thinking this is mine, this is the others, and we are fighting over the possession, therefore we are having struggles. Because we are thinking mine is the only way, or this is the only idea of God. So we are having misunderstanding. But if we know there is one Lord, He is the best friend of everyone, He is our well-wisher, He wants our best interest to be served, then by knowing that we'll be in peace. So this is called the peace formula. We should know the science of God. We should have our faith in His kindness, His all-powerful nature. And in this way, there'll be peace in the world as we are all brothers and sisters under one common Father. We want international, universal brotherhood, sisterhood. Without the common father, how is it possible? When we understand there's only one absolute Lord, one supreme truth, and we are all parts of that, we are all, therefore, brothers and sisters under the one supreme father, then where is the difficulty?
We are indeed greatly blessed by the great presence of the Swamiji and the equally great presence of the message that we have delivered, both of you have delivered, is most relevant to today. Peace, unity, as both of you have rightly emphasized, all religions are leading to the same place. That is exactly what is being demonstrated in practice to a very ordinary man by our great leader, Viji Santosha. You look round, all the religions of the world are represented, the Christianity or Islam or Hindu, all the religions of the world are represented, not only represented, are respected, and the man who is visiting this place, he learns the lesson. Any amount of preaching, nothing like actually seeing it, visualizing it, that kind of thing, because it's a tourist attraction. In the guise of a tourist attraction, a great teaching of all the religions of the world is demonstrated here by our very noble friend, Mr. Santosham. We are really fortunate, all of those who are present, by Swamiji's presence, also by Swamiji's presence. We are happy that the message that you have conveyed to both of you will be remembered by all of us here, and surely we will follow the message of peace, the message of unity, the message of unity of all religions. Thank you, Swamiji.